I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What are you working for? Right? This is a big, huge question, because as we saw last week, avoiding disappointment is all about having godly aspirations without any earthly expectations. Right? So we need to trust that God has got a perfect position and purpose for every single person in His plan, and that is every single one of us, even if you haven't seen yours yet. And that's a lot of us, right? It's tough. It took me a while. I hope this is it, because I don't want to move anymore. I like being here, but you never know. Because if we faithfully hang in there, He's going to reveal. He'll reveal the place that we belong that He had planned all along. And we'll finally get to feel that fulfilling joy of finding our fit. Doesn't that sound great? Yeah, that just sounds wonderful. Just like Matthias does when Judas's position opens up. And Peter points out that someone needs a promotion. We read this last week. It says, it is necessary to choose one of the men who've been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. So they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. And then they cast the lots to fulfill God's thousand-year plan and purpose that He's been working toward this entire time. And the lot fell to Matthias. Yay! And the crowd went wild, right? You know? And he was added to the 11 apostles. Hooray! Three cheers for Matt, right? He made it. It happened. That's so good. We love this stuff. Who doesn't love the inspiring story of an underdog, you know, finally getting a starting spot on the team after faithfully working as a backup for so long? It's just so great because it fills us, the listener, with hope for all of our own aspirations, right? It's why we love guys like the reigning comeback player of the year, Geno Smith. Yay, Geno! Yeah. Because, all right, good. It's football fans. Because he spent 7 years on four NFL teams as a backup before he got the call to start for the Seahawks last season. And, you know, we won the Super Bowl. So that was great. No, we didn't? Okay. That's how I choose to remember it. But no, he did wonderful. It was great. It was incredible. And so that sort of a story, though, really just makes me feel maybe I still got a shot, right? I could try out. I could do it because it's just so inspiring. But, here's the but. Before we all start preparing for our starting spot on God's squad, shouldn't we be weighing all of the outcomes? Because the truth is, we're all way more likely to be lottery losers than winners. And we don't like to talk about that as much, but that does mean we should ask some of these questions like, what about Barabbas? What about Barsabbas? Barabbas doesn't even make it into this sermon. I feel worse for him. Don't get me started on Barnabas. It's even worse for him. It's so terrible. He knows what he's doing. You put all those names in there too close together. What about Barsabbas and the rest? How do you think he felt when he missed being God's 12th man by a single roll of the Yahweh Yahtzee? It was that close and it went the wrong way. How would you feel if you were in that situation? It's actually a really important question because everything hinges on how you would answer that. How would you feel? Because not everyone is called up, but everyone is called out by God. Because every single one of us has a God-given appointment, and regardless of the prestige or the power of that position, our heart's desire is exposed by how we handle our work. So ask yourself, do you ever act like you deserve, you know, like a bigger and better life? We catch ourselves doing this a lot. Are you ever holding back some of your effort while you wait for your big Matthias moment, right? Because you know that you're meant for something better. Are you expecting God to, you know, give you some more material wealth to manage, or maybe like an appointment with some more authority to accomplish His will, because that's where you belong and you're just kind of like waiting in the wings? Well, maybe He will. I mean, He could, absolutely. But maybe He won't. But in the meantime, Here's what we do know for sure. If you got time to lean, you got time to clean. All right, if you've ever been in the restaurant industry, you know this all too well. You got time to lean, you got time to clean. Regardless of your present position or his future plans, God's got work for you to do today because the harvest is plentiful, present tense, but the workers are few right now, right? And if many hands make light work, the fewer, the heavier. So on God's staff, time waiting is time wasted, which makes it everybody's best interest to work as hard as we can wherever we're at right now. So get to work. However, let's, you know, honesty time here. We tend to save that kind of eager energy for the position that we feel is our best and most blessed. Right? If you think about it, we know this. We all know that we only increase effort if the outcome is appealing. That is why we have to offer all these things like awards and rewards and commissions and tips and perks and benefits and bonuses, all sorts of things. That's our motivation. Because getting what we want out of our work is the secret to job satisfaction. We know that. That's how it works, that synergy together there. So the question is, what's the secret to getting what we want? Well, actually, it's pretty easy. It says it right here. Well, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You get that? Okay, that doesn't mean it's a genie, it's a magic trick or anything here. It's just saying learn to want what God wants to give, and you'll naturally love the work life that you live. See, it even rhymes. That's how you know it's true. Okay. And that means an increase in faith and trust means an increase in joy and fulfillment. You can bank on that. Job satisfaction is not about position. It is all about perspective. And old Geno Smith drove that point downfield after being asked if he was ever frustrated by all his time that he had to spend on the sideline, right? Saying you had to play second fiddle, that must have been rough. You know what he said in response to that? Oh, Geno, I love him now. He said, my tough times would be a dream to someone else. My man, that's good stuff. And then when further prodded to comment on how good it must feel, you know, now to be recognized for all that hard work that he did and he put into it, he said, all glory to God for the gifts and more. That's my guy right there. I like the sound of that. If you want an example, it's going to make it so much easier to root for the Seahawks this year, isn't it? I'm like, I love him. I love him. But if you want a prime example of a right heart at work, that's it right there. See the bad as good and the good as God. And I want you to say that with me. See the bad as good and the good as God. That's it in a nutshell. There's your perspective. Because the more that we can look past face value, the more we can see faith's value, right? And when we believe that our boss knows best, we're excited to up the effort, right? Because we trust, we know, we trust every assignment and appointment has some awesome outcome at the end of it. You know, we don't need any bonuses. We know it's going to be great. And that right there is how we can be unaffected by the ups and downs of any occupation, period, anywhere. Because devotion means promotions or demotions don't determine our emotions. I'm full on Dr. Seuss in it today, all right? It's true, though. That's it. So think about this. If Barsabbas or Barabbas or Barnabas, if any of them, but if Barsabbas was, in fact, the devoted disciple that he appeared to be, well, then that missed appointment that went to Matthias must have just been like an interesting afternoon before he got back to doing his dream job already in progress. He loved it. So this is where the Lord wants me. So that's, it felt that way. And doesn't that just sound so rosy and righteous? I mean, it just sounds great, right? But again, more honesty time here. Doesn't it also sound a little bit impractical and impossible for us? I mean, honestly, I'm going to ask yourself this. Has your faith kept you completely unaffected by all your jobs, ups and downs? No, it hasn't. It happens. It's all right. I don't think that really works out that way for us most of the time, but that's a function of our lack of faith. So how do we straighten out our heart's desires so that all of our work, whatever we're doing, has that fulfilling joy of feeling our fit? You know, that's what we want. How do we do that? And I tell you, this is a tough question. I thought about it for a while. I read a bunch, prayed a bunch, tried to figure out where this was going. And here's what I've discovered. It's all about understanding the difference between career and calling. What's your career and what's your calling? And then merging them, making them into one. Because you see, our career is all about the pursuit of our earthly goals, right? Material answers for a material world. That's it. Well, our calling is all about the pursuit of God's eternal good. Totally different. It's an up here, down there perspective, right? And the relationship between these two, career and calling, can range. You know, it can be anywhere from one and the same to totally mutually exclusive. It all depends on the heart that we have when we go to work. So, getting to that rosy and righteous place, that right heart, is tricky. It's tough. And it's going to be really difficult to ever get to, you know, where there's no disappointment in any appointment, anywhere. It sounds good, but it's hard to get there. But it takes three things, and I got them here for you that we're going to run through. We got passion, we got purpose, and priorities. That's what we need to get our heart right. So where does passion come from? Where does passion come from? You. It comes from you and God, of course. It comes from you and God. We get, and you know this because you felt it, we get that deep sense of satisfaction when we are operating at peak efficiency. You know, when everything's just clicking and it's just, you're on fire. And you, that fire that you feel comes from flexing your God-given gifts. You're just doing something really well because you were just built for it. And it's the reason why Olympians have to compete and musicians have to perform and I have to play fantasy football. It is just what I was designed to do. It's just like, I wish it was more, but that's, you know, anyway. But it's true. You feel that at that moment there. You're like, this is what I was made to do. But regardless of whatever the work is, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, all the different work that there is to do. And we do that because it works. Guys, I can promise you, I've felt it. Put God's gifts in your work to connect with your passion. That's how you do it. Back when I was a bartender, but I didn't attend church, I was in that in-between stage there. I had all of my earthly desires met, and yet, surprisingly, I started falling apart emotionally. Surprise, surprise. It just started happening, and I was just a real sullen, oh, everything's going great for me, and I hate it. So as the mama's boy that I am, what do? As mama's boy, we run to mom, even though I'm in, you know, in my 20s, and I go out there, and I just dump all my despair on my poor, sweet mother. So one Sunday, she hangs around her church to ask her pastor if he had any advice for her sweet son, who was, you know, really a good guy, but just not coming to church. He was on the outs with God. And Bruce says to her, tell him to be the best bartender in the world. So she did. And I did. I became the best bartender in the world. I'm kidding. I tried, though. I did. I tried. It struck me. It was a moving moment for me where I was like, right, if I'm doing something, do it well. Do it with everything I got. And I started really putting myself into it, and it was a different experience, completely different. And that is part of why I'm here right now. Because loving anything at all inches us closer to knowing God's love. You just experience love, you know. And working anywhere at all with passion inches us closer to knowing God's plan. These are the gifts that he's given me. I'm supposed to be doing this. And using our gifts inches us closer to knowing the God who gave them. You can just feel it. This is not from me. This was given to me. And when we do that, when we inch closer to God's love and his plan and his gifts, we start to see his purpose in our lives. Of course we do. We can't help it. For we are God's handiwork. He made us, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's all about doing it. He gave us these gifts to go use them so that we could feel that and be drawn to him. And here's how it works. Our purpose is revealed when we get a taste of the work that fits the gifts that he gave. It just is so good. When you start doing something, you're like, man, this feels right. You are finding your purpose. And by the way, it's not that hard. It's the same work for all of us. Above all, it's to do good works. We just read there, right? Do good works. And if you missed it specifically, our job is to use whatever gift you have received to what? Serve others. Bing, that's it. So just put God's goals in your work to connect with your purpose. That's all you got to do. And that was serving others. Back in World War II, Dorothy Sayers wrote this really interesting essay about how interesting it was that when people who worked in other fields joined the military to help the war effort that was going on, they were often surprised to find the work in the military was often more joyful than their previous professions. To go to war, that's a crazy thought, right? But it was because this was the first time that a lot of them had this feeling that they weren't working for merely material rewards, but they were working for a cause that really actually mattered. They felt that they were actually doing good because they were protecting the lives and values of others. Of course, right? Of course they did. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the duty of all mankind. There's your job assignment. That's all of us. His commands are our created purpose. And in case you're unclear on what those commands are, well, let's just sum it up for you. The entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Serving those others, our entire purpose, all of it, everything that we are built to do, all the gifts we've been given is fulfilled when we can just work for that goal, right? Loving those others, serving them. And God gave us these gifts to make us effective and to get us fired up once we answer that call to come work for him and whatever, wherever we're supposed to be in his plan. So to add purpose to your passion, it's all about serving others. I mean, it's that simple, but here's the tricky part of that, okay? It always sounds easy, but it's hard in practice. It gets tricky because all of the work that we do down here, like in our careers, tends to just take on a life of its own. And if we're not careful, even serving others can work against God's goals. In fact, imagine just for a second if Barsabbas did display disappointment, right? Thinking in earthly terms. And he was actually really bummed out about it because of his missed appointment. He'd be showing his heart was still split between the two places that he's working for here. You know, I still want this earthly stuff and I want the up there stuff too. And that would be a huge problem, right? Because Paul actually lays out how presenting this perspective can pervert our purpose. Everyone can see the wrong thing. This is how he says, here's a problem that he was demonstrating, displaying. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ, right? See, that's the problem. You can't have the allegiance both ways. We can't work for two different bosses and still give them each 100%. It's just mathematically impossible. You can't do it. So how do we do it? We can't do it. We need to do it. We got to find a way that we're serving both of them. How do we work toward earthly goals in our career and the eternal good of God's calling at the same time? Priorities. Just get your priorities straight. This one we had to, you know, hear from God himself because this one's tricky. And after, on the Sermon on the Mount there, after dispelling, was he dismissing all of his disciples' earthly desires? They're talking about all these different things. And he's saying, don't worry about, you know, what you'll eat, what you'll wear, all that stuff that's going on down here. Jesus goes on to explain. He says, listen, just seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things down here will be given to you as well. Okay. No wonder we get confused here. This is actually a really nuanced point. It sounds simple, but make sure that we're hearing it right. He's not saying, you know, to work for the eternal and just forget about the earthly. You know, don't worry about it at all. He's saying to work for the eternal and then trust that you'll also get the earthly. that it just comes with it. And that the order of importance that you have there is absolutely everything. That's the critical part. I heard the murmur. You get it? Cart before the horse? Anyway, order of importance is everything. Because like C.S. Lewis says about this, one of the best quotes ever, aim at heaven and you'll get the earth thrown in. Aim at the earth and you get neither. Right? That is the truth. So again, it's tricky, but remember this. You can serve people without serving God, but you can't serve God without serving people. Okay, that is fact. Remember that when anything that you're doing, in everything that you're doing, remember that. So to get our heart in the right place, we have to keep our priorities in the right order. So whatever it is that you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. There's the key. Not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Just making it crystal clear. So if you want both birds with one stone, put God's calling first to connect it to your career. And don't let earthly work or rewards ever overshadow the real reason that is behind your passion and your purpose. Because as Solomon warns, to keep our motivation, we can't have earthly expectation. All right, here's the Old Testament precursor to that New Testament work for the Lord verse, all right? He says back in those days, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. We know, right? Because we're working for the Lord's reward. Otherwise, you'll be let down by down here. And he makes that point because he says, remember, this is how things go down here. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Ooh, right? You didn't earn nothing. And Malcolm Gladwell, oh my goodness, I love this book. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a wonderful book called Outliers that was aimed to explain the origins of like extraordinary earthly success, all the Bill Gateses of the world, etc. And guess what he concluded? Success is the result of what sociologists like to call accumulative advantage or good luck, you know? That's really what that was. And just like the Bible says, he concluded this, from tech billionaires to star athletes, chance and circumstance are the deciding factors in career success, all right? We like, as Americans, we're like, I'm a self-made, God made you, you know? That's how it works. It all comes down to him. And that means everything comes down to external forces that are beyond our earthly control. We don't play as much of a part as we'd like to because it's out of our hands. But guess whose hands it's in? They are well within God's control. Every single thing that's going on in your life. And that means this, whatever hand that you've been dealt, or however the dice roll in your life, we should recognize that we have all been deliberately, very much on purpose, given the passion and purpose to be the right person at the right time to fulfill our calling in any career, wherever we're at. We just have to have the right priorities to see it and seize it when it pops up. You have that right now. So commit to the Lord, whatever it is that you're doing, and he will, that's a promise, he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything on earth and in heaven to its proper end. Trust that. So, back to Barsabbas. What about Barsabbas? You know, how did he do? I'm not worried. I'm not worried about him at all. Because everything sorts itself out once we know what it is that we're working for. And when all of your efforts are seen as working for your Savior, man, it is easy to see bad as good and good as God. And I'm pretty sure Barsabbas knew what he was really working for because he literally walked with God and talked with God every single day. So the question is, do you walk with him and talk with him every day? Because if so, then you should already know there is no such thing as second string on God's team. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we love you and we trust you. And we devote all of our earthly efforts to your eternal good, wherever it is that we're working. Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us to serve others with that right passion and purpose and priorities by using all of our gifts for your goals. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for walking and talking with us so that we can see the bad is good and the good is God when our calling comes before our career. And to that, everybody said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.